Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We started to talk yesterday about a comment in the Medrash in Parshas Bo. Vayifen vayetze meyim paro. Moshe Rabbeinu, after warning Paro about Makas Arbe, the Medrash tells us that he leaves because lefi shara she'avadav mislach Hashem, because he saw that the Avdei Paro were whispering amongst themselves, and perhaps he realized that that is not a place for him, because when people are trying to talk privately and they don't intend for us to hear it, we have to be very careful with that kind of information. We mentioned yesterday the Pasuk in Sefer Mishlei, Holech Rachel Megala Sod, that a person has to be careful if information is shared with us individually, in confidence, in private. We have to be careful not to necessarily share that information and pass it on to somebody else who perhaps it was not intended for. So we mentioned as well, very briefly, at the very end of the shir, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told in the opening Pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, Vaidaber Hashem Elav Me Ohel Moed Lemar. The Ribono Shel Olam, God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously in private. It was in the Ohel Moed, and nobody else was privy to the conversation. But Lemar, it was that he told him to say over whatever message was given to him, he told him to then transmit it and share it with the Jewish community. So the Gemara Maseches Yuma says, we learn from here, Minayin Laomer Davar LaChaveiro. How do you know that if you share a piece of information with somebody else, Shehu Bibal Yomar, how do you know that you're not supposed to share that information, Ad She Yomar Lo, unless I explicitly tell you that you have a right to share it with somebody else? So the Gemara says, we learn it from the Pasuk of this instruction given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'ol Moed Lemar, means God had to give in a specific instruction to say over that which was shared with him. But had he not told him that, we learn from here that you don't have a right to necessarily share the information with someone else. And Rashi writes there, the reason why is because Lemar means Lo Emar. You don't have a right to say unless you are explicitly told that you have a right to share the information. So there's a fascinating discussion that the Achronim have, more recent Achronim, about whether this applies to a situation where somebody tells you a Dvar Torah, where somebody shares with you, let's say, a manuscript of their own or of a grandfather or whatever it might be. Do you have a right to then go ahead and publish it without asking permission of that person? Interesting question. So just to frame the discussion a little bit, on the one hand, we have a mitzvah not only lilmud Torah, we have a mitzvah not only to learn, but we say every day, lilmud ulalamed lishmar velasos. Part of our obligation to learn is also, if one has the ability to teach Torah, if God gives you that ability, then you have an obligation to share and to transmit that knowledge over to others who might not have the knowledge that you have. And therefore, we have, like Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, the same way we have an obligation, lilmud, to the maximum. Every human being has an obligation to learn to the best of their ability as much as they can, and you don't have a right to say, well, I know more than everybody else in my neighborhood, and therefore I'm good. No, your obligation to learn is to master as much as you possibly can. So too writes Rav Moshe Feinstein in his introduction to his tshuvas. He says, Lelamed works the same way. We have an obligation to teach to the maximum as well, which is why today we have such an incredible ability, now that we have the internet and we could share Divrei Torah online with other communities that may never have been exposed to the Torah that's shared in other societies or other communities. That is something that's a tremendous gift. And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, this is the reason why, although he gave shiurim every day in his yeshiva on the Lower East Side, he says he feels he has an obligation to write down his Divrei Torah. Why? Because maybe there are Jews on other corners of the globe who would never come to the Lower East Side to learn Torah in his personal shiur, but now that he is able to share it by the vehicle of Svarim, he feels that he has an obligation to do so. That's part of his lilame. That is part of his obligation to give over the knowledge that he was blessed with. So, we know that this is part of the obligation that a Torah educator has, not only lilmod, not only to learn, but also lilame, to teach to others. So, the Noda Yehuda writes the following, Hine, kol mitzvah sadam ekayim ba'olam hazeh. We know that the only mitzvahs we can perform are while we're here. Once I'm no longer on this earth, I don't have the ability to perform mitzvahs any longer. He says, the Talmidim that I have influenced, even if I'm a person who is a man of influence, once I'm no longer able to influence those people because I'm not here anymore, so then my influence is no longer able to be perpetuated. However, If a person has the ability to write something which can be saved for future generations, v'achibur hazeh nisyased al dvar emes v'tzedek, and the words that are written in this book or whatever this pamphlet might be are reasonable dvar Hashem, al pi darka shel haTorah, ish hazeh eno posek milaholid toldos gam achar moso. This person will continue to be able to have an influence even after they are no longer here. And therefore he writes that this is a tremendous gift that you can give a person. If you write, or if they give over the writings, and somebody in a future generation publishes that, that is a tremendous gift because they can continue to fulfill that mitzvah of lelamed even after they are no longer here. And I've had many, many discussions with my father about my discomfort over the fact that I feel he doesn't write enough. And I keep telling him that he has such an incredible ability to write, and all the svarim that he writes are bestsellers. How can you not continue to write, not for the money, but because look how much you can give over, and there's so much that only he can present that so many others in our generation don't have the ability to give over. So I've discussed this with my father many times, and he said, my obligation right now is to teach those who are interested in listening to that which I have to share. Ah, you'll tell me that if I write, I'll be able to share that information with future generations who won't be necessarily here in my shir today. He said it might be true, but he told me that experience shows that every generation has its own flavor, and every generation has what speaks to them. And he said, my generation right now, my style of teaching does speak to many in this generation. So he said, my primary obligation today is to teach those who are here today. And therefore he says, for me to take out of my schedule, to take out of my teaching, and to go and write would be something that who knows if future generations are ever going to care. Like my father said to me, how many people have written svarim that nobody ever picks up anymore, even though they were so popular in generations prior to ours? But that's just the trend of generations. So he said, my obligation, it's fascinating that he actually thought about this, he says that our obligation today as teachers of Torah is to teach the members of our generation. And Rav Asher Weiss, I've spoken to him about the same issue as well. He says, what do you mean? Your hashba, your ability to teach is limited if you only do it with the members of your generation. And he said the reason why he invests so much of his time not only teaching but also writing is because, he said, writing is something that will live on way after I'm no longer here. And he felt that writing is something that is also the obligation of a teacher of Torah. So this is a very interesting issue, but sharing Divrei Torah not only in person but also in writing is something that is incredibly important. So there's a very interesting story about this particular issue. Do we have a right to share Divrei Torah when in fact we were not given permission to do so? How has that story come to a fore? So there were two very great personalities in the last generation. One was Rav Shlomo Goren, who was known to be a very amazing personality in many different ways and his contribution, and Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who was also known to be one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Merkaz Harav, if I'm not mistaken, known to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So here's the story. And the whole story is quoted in the Torah journal called Truman. I don't know if everyone has seen that, but it's a very reputable journal where they write up the whole story, and each submitted their own side of the argument, which is very fascinating in and of itself. So I went through it, and I found it to be very interesting. Anyone know how to convert Hebrew years to English years? Tufshin Membeis. What year was that in English? I don't know exactly offhand, but Tufshin Membeis, you'll do the math on your own. That's when this whole disagreement, that's when this dispute came to a fore, and that was by Melchemet Shlom HaGalil. That was when they were fighting over the Galil. So there was a whole article that was written by Rav Shlomo Goren in Hatzofeh. Hatzofeh is a newspaper in Israel, and he had submitted an article about something that was done by the Israeli government at the time of Melchemet Shlom HaGalil. And he wrote it as a response to that, and he wrote not a political piece, it was a halachic argument about something that he thought was worthy of discussing in a halachic way, whether or not it was done in the proper fashion. Anyway, he printed this public letter, and it was a halachic discourse about something that was done in the war, and as a result of his printing the public letter, he then receives a number of responses from his good friend, Rav Shaul Yisraeli. And Rav Shaul Yisraeli took issue with some of the halachic arguments that Rav Goren had put forth, and he sends him a long letter of all the different comments that he had and all the flaws in his argument. Rav Goren then responds in a letter to all of these arguments, and when he sends it into Hatzofeh to publish his response, he not only publishes the response, but he also publishes the private letter that Rav Shaul Yisraeli had sent him. So without Rav Shaul Yisraeli knowing, he picks up the paper the next day, and he sees that there's an article submitted by none other than himself. Rav Shaul Yisraeli had now had an article that was published in the newspaper that he never intended at all to be published in a public setting. He had written a private letter to his friend Rav Shlomo Goren, arguing on some of the details of the halachic discourse that had shown itself in the newspaper Hatzofes. So he is totally taken aback, and now he says, well, let's forget about that issue for now. Let's now focus on whether you had a right to do this. Who said you have a right to take a private letter that was written to you? And albeit it was a letter pointing out the flaws in the halachic argument of what you had written, but who said you had a right to publish my private letter to you in a public setting without asking my permission? And now they went totally off course from the original discussion, which had to do with a very important issue in Israel, and now they went into this discussion about whether or not when somebody writes a letter that only contains Divrei Torah, do I have a right to go ahead and share that information? Obviously, like we said yesterday, if there's any damaging information in the letter, of course you're not allowed to share it. And if there's personal information in the letter, perhaps you're not allowed to share it either. So if all the pleasantries were in the letter, obviously he left those out. But when he just printed the letter itself, then they got into a major discussion whether or not they have any right to share that information. Rav Yisraeli came from the perspective of here, we have God himself instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe me'ohel moed le'mor. And he said, I'm giving you an instruction, I'm teaching you about the Torah and the mitzvahs, and I would like you to share that information with the Jewish community. Said Rav Shaul Yisraeli, don't you see from there that it must be that even when you're sharing Divrei Torah, God himself is sharing Divrei Torah with Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't have a right to share the information, which is obviously sacred and holy, you don't have a right to share it unless you were told explicitly that you have a right to do so, or if it was said in a public setting. Look, if I'm giving a public shiur, and then somebody from the shiur decides to write something from what I said, of course they have a right to do it. If I didn't want it to be public, I shouldn't have said it in a public setting. But here, where God calls Moshe Rabbeinu into the Ohel Moed, even though everything that's being shared is only private discussion that's about Divrei Torah, but since it was in private, Moshe Rabbeinu would have had no right to share that unless God explicitly told him that he has a right to do that. And therefore, Rav Shaul Yisraeli argued, you had no right to do what you did, even though my letter is all Divrei Torah and it's all wonderful and people can learn from it, but you had no right to do so. And he said, had I known it was going to be published publicly, I certainly would have been a lot more careful in the arguments that I made and exactly how I formulated it. I would have been much more professional in the writing of this letter, and I would not have sent you the letter that I did. Rav Goren argued the contrary, and he said, it cannot be. How can the Gemara tell us here you're not allowed to share a Divrei Torah and we learn it from God himself? Rav Goren was known to be a very original thinker. Very often his logic that was very original was not accepted. Rav Soloveitchik, for one, was not a fan at all of many of the chidushim of Rav Goren. But here Rav Goren said, well, how could it be that God can tell Moshe Rabbeinu you're not allowed to share Divrei Torah? Don't we have a mitzvah, Lilmod Ulalamed? We have a mitzvah that we need to share Divrei Torah. So it must be, said Rav Goren, and here's the flaw in his logic. I'm not saying it's the flaw, but Rav Shaul Yisraeli said it was the flaw, that it must be, im eino inin lazeh, teneu inin la'acher. Said Rav Goren, it must be that God cannot be talking about this particular issue between him and Moshe Rabbeinu about sharing Divrei Torah, because we have a mitzvah in the Torah that is to share as much Torah as we can. And therefore, said Rav Goren, it must be that God only used that as an example to Moshe Rabbeinu about all other aspects of his life. That if somebody tells you something in confidence, you don't have a right to share it with others, but that certainly cannot be taken to the situation of Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah, we have a mitzvah to share, and therefore he says, he thinks that this is something that is not at all anything he needs to worry about. He doesn't have to defend his position. And he thinks that he had every right to publicize the letter that was shared to him in a private setting. There is something that dates back earlier, the Avnei Nezer, who was about 50 years before all of these great tzaddikim. The Avnei Nezer also had a very similar issue. And he says, Hinei huva lefanai es chiburo bikurei shlomo asher hitfis. He writes a private letter to his friend, the Bikurei Shlomo, and he says, I don't understand. Somebody brought me your sefer that just came out, and it's a beautiful sefer. However, he says, I was taken aback to find a letter in that sefer, Bikurei Shlomo, written by none other than the Avnei Nezer himself. How did that get in there? And the Avnei Nezer said, I didn't give you any permission to print a private letter that I sent to you, even though it was in response to something you wrote to me. But he said, although all of it was Divrei Torah, I would have been so much more careful had I known it was going to ultimately end up in a sefer, and therefore he says, you really had no right to publish what it is that I sent to you privately. I obviously just was having a conversation, a discourse with you about the halacha, and had I known that it was going to find itself in a public setting like a sefer, I would have thought many, many times over before I wrote you the letter the way I did, and I would have been a lot more careful. So I thought this is a very interesting issue that has come up over the generations, whether or not we have a right, and the Netziv has a tshuva in the Meshav Devar as well, when grandchildren found manuscripts of their grandfather that were not published, do they have a right to go ahead and publish them? Or should we assume that from the fact that the grandfather didn't publish it, maybe it means he didn't want them to be published, and he does not want them to be publicized? I've often wondered about Rabbi Avadya Yosef, printed many, many volumes of tshuvas and svarim while he was alive, and there were obviously some tshuvas that he chose not to put into the sefer. So now, since he passed away, they have printed, the family has put out, I think, one or at least one volume that I have at home, maybe there's even more, of tshuvas that were never printed, that were never included in his svarim. I've showed some of the questionable tshuvas in there to my father, and I've asked him, maybe Rabbi Avadya didn't want these to be publicized in a sefer, and that's why he himself chose to leave them out. It wasn't just coincidental that they were left on his desk at the time that he passed away. Maybe there was a reason that they were left out. He has a, what many would say, an outrageous tshuva about agunas that just came out now in the new volume that many find to be very troubling and to be very disturbing. And yet, he writes in there that the reason why we can get rid of a marriage that was a questionable marriage is because the two Edim were lawyers, and a lawyer is doing something that's against the halacha because he's working in the Arko system. He's working in a system of non-Jewish courts, and therefore he says they're pasul eidus, and that means they had no right to be the Edim at the wedding, and therefore we can disqualify the wedding from the first place, and this woman is no longer an aguna. Well, if that argument is true, I would disqualify almost many, many, many of my wonderful friends that are lawyers. So that's a very problematic tshuva along with many others. And the question is, maybe there's a reason why Rav Avadya chose not to put it in his svarim while he was alive, and the family maybe has no right to go ahead and start collecting things that he did not want to be printed b'chayiv. It's an interesting question that has come up in various generations and in different formats, like we said, the Netziv, the Avnei Nezer, and many others, but it really stems back to this original issue. When something is written or is said in confidence, the question is, do we necessarily have a right to assume that that is meant to be shared, or perhaps do we need specific permission from that individual to then share the information and take it a little bit further than they had originally intended for it to be? Rabbi Hanan ben Akasha Omer.